Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Rising crime and divorce rates bear sad testimony to families with poor male role models, or none at all. It's vital that dads lead their families in the right direction. The next generation depends on it, and right now, the outlook is grim. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on Dads in Charge.
As I was thinking of the power of the family, I'd like to give you three objects that will help us define the power of the family. The first object that I want to mention is that we are a mirror. You know, the way in which the children perceive themselves, the way in which the wife perceives herself, is dependent on how we perceive them. A child will think of himself in terms of how his father thinks of him. If his father honors him, encourages him, stands by his side, he'll see himself as valuable and having an ally in a very cruel world. If the father sees the child as a nuisance, as someone who just takes his money because he has to be fed and clothed, if he sees his son as someone who is intruding on his time, his son or his daughter, can you even imagine the impact that has on a child? The child perceives himself to be what the father perceives him to be. After all, embedded in the heart and mind of a child is this: dad must be right. And if he's abusive, I must deserve what I'm getting. Oh, father, you're a mirror. Reflect back to your family positive images of encouragement and help, and stand with them. Another way to describe it is that you're a thermostat. What temperature is your home going to be at? There are some homes where there's just chaos and there is arguing. I remember talking to a guy who said that every disagreement in our house ended up in a fight. Well, where was dad? Where was dad saying we have to honor one another, we have to respect one another, we have to resolve conflict, we have to love one another? And modeling it in his own life and in his own relationship with his wife and kids, where is that father? Because he's the thermostat. And whether your home is a cold place where secrets have to be kept, and where they have to be stuffed into the soul, and where shame is often used for motivation, in a home like that, dad, you're accountable, because you and I are the thermostat. It's another way, and that is to say that we also are a compass. Are we going in the right direction? Are we leading our families correctly to more spiritual understanding and a great sense of direction and leadership, so that the family knows they can depend on dad? Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to another passage. This is one that if we do not understand, we will always have tension in the home. We will have tension among ourselves. And it is very instructive as to what God thinks of family conflict. It's found at the end of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Not the book of Malachi, like a friend of mine thought it should be pronounced. I won't tell you what country he was from. But the book of Malachi, in chapter 4, this is what it says in verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a decree of utter destruction. God says if our homes are not reconciled, if fathers are not restored to their children, and children to their fathers, it is an ultimate judgment. What does that say to us here in America? What does it say to us as a nation where our homes are crumbling and where the attacks against the family are everywhere, especially in the media and even among our politicians? Where does that leave us? We should weep for our families. Now, I promised you that I was going to give you steps that you can take. No matter where you are as a father or as someone who isn't a father, you're a single, you're a teenager, whether you're a man or woman, it makes no difference. What steps must all of us take to fulfill this verse? Let me give them to you very simply. Step number one is we must be reconciled to our own fathers. We must be reconciled to our own fathers. You say, reconciled to my father. My father left the home, you say. I'm thinking of a little girl. Let's take a moment to feel the pain. She's about 8 years old, and her father comes into her bedroom and says, you know, I'm leaving. I'm going to live with somebody else. But don't worry, I'll come and visit you from time to time. The little girl is dissolving in tears. The father walks out of the room, and that's the last time the little girl sees her daddy. It's happening all over America in different ways all the time. So you're saying, what do you mean by being reconciled to your own father? You can be reconciled to your own father without his permission or involvement. For some of you, you need to be reconciled to a father who has long since died. And you are still bearing within yourself the effects of how he parented you. So how do we go about being restored to our parents, especially our father? First of all, number one, accept reality and the truth. Just accept it. I have here a story of a young man who writes to his brother and says, as for your concern about dad, that's a big issue. And I don't know where to start. I can tell you that I've spent a long time in therapy dealing with it, and I'm just now getting to some closure on it. It has affected me a great deal, and I know that for sure. Dad's not going to change. I have a hard time accepting that. I've spent my life setting myself up to receive some little acknowledgement or blessing, only to be disappointed each time. Somewhere along the way, I stopped trying. I'll always miss him, though there will always be a hollow place inside of me where love and acceptance from him should have been. This I can never change. He has to make peace with his father. He's taken the first step in accepting reality. It is so hard for children who've gone through a difficult experience with a father. Now, of course, I hope that many of you, as you listen to this, say, I had a good father. I had a good father, an imperfect father, because all fathers are woefully imperfect, but a good father. But you say, well, Pastor Lutzer, mine was an alcoholic, mine was abusive, mine was distant, mine left the family, and on it goes. You must make peace with your father. You must face the reality, because remember, whatever you don't forgive, you pass on. Wow. All right, number one, then, you face the reality. Number two, you mourn the loss. It's okay to cry about your past if that's what you need to do. And you cry, and the reason that you cry is because it could have been so different. There were longings that you had as a child that were never fulfilled. You can weep over those. Feel free to weep. You know, if you lost an arm, we wouldn't criticize you for crying. Some of you, God bless you. My heart aches for you because you've lost your childhood as a result of your father. And so as a result of that, you face the loss and you accept it and recognize that things will not change. It is what it is, despite the pain. And then what you choose to do is you really do choose to forgive and lay it down. And how do you and I forgive? Our standard is, we want to forgive others even as Jesus forgave us. Aren't you glad for the fact that Jesus freely forgave us? Isn't that wonderful? Is it not our responsibility to forgive as we're forgiven, with or without our Father's cooperation? We hope that there can be reconciliation, but in many instances there can't be. And so what we choose to do is to say, no longer am I going to be defined by my pain. Now I'm going to speak to you candidly. Pretend I'm not speaking to a large crowd as I am today, but rather you're in my office and we're looking at each other eye to eye, just between us. This is what I would say. It's so important that when you think about the past, that you not focus on the fact that all of your wounds have to be healed. My wounds have to be healed. You see, the problem is with you and with me. We feel our wounds much more keenly than we feel our sin. Therefore, we don't necessarily see that the real issue God has in mind, the real issue he has in mind, my friend, is holiness, a pursuit of God, with or without healing, I should say. So I was preparing this message. I was reminded of a time when I had the opportunity to speak, and I did at one time speak many times during the Promise Keeper era. And I was speaking to a large stadium of 10 or 15,000 people, and I was explaining all this to them, and then I gave an invitation. Hundreds of men came forward. Hundreds, I don't know how many. But I remember all throughout the front, men were weeping and crying up to God. And I remember one man who was sitting in this part or standing in this part of the crowd, and he kept saying, "Dad, I forgive you. Dad, I forgive you." And I hope and pray that that was the beginning for those men to finally come to realize that their past should not define them. And even if some left with still their wounds, that they should know that they could be men of God, no matter how they were parented. Because we've learned in the first message that wherever sin abounds, there's also grace alongside of sin. You know, you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are very few examples of great parenting. There are some. But just think of Abraham. Now remember, his parents were pagans. And I think by God's grace and sovereignty, he turned out pretty good, actually. I think of Moses, for example. He was raised by a single woman, the princess, who was a sun worshiper. And look at what God did through Moses. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a man by the name of Ahaz. He was not a righteous king by any stretch of the imagination. And yet, Ahaz, who did evil in the sight of the Lord, he has a son by the name of Hezekiah. And the Bible says that Hezekiah walked in all the ways of the Lord and served the Lord all the days of his life. And you say, wait a moment. I mean, look at his father. If you have the faith to believe it, I encourage you to step out today and believe and trust God that you can be reconciled to your Father, and your past need not define your future, because God is a God of grace. It might be unrealistic for me to give an invitation here today, as was given at Promise Keepers, but I can't help but think that out in the balcony and listening by other means over the internet and the radio, there would be hundreds of people, maybe thousands, who say, this message is for me. I am sick and tired of pursuing healing for my wounds as if that's the greatest goal. The greatest goal is to glorify God and to seek him. And despite all your imperfections and your inadequacies, who knows what God will do when you step out in faith and say, Lord, help me to be the father that I should be. So that's a message for all of us, isn't it? We all have to be reconciled to our parents, boys, girls, men, women. But now I'm speaking to the fathers once again directly. Suppose you've done that. What is the next step that you as a father should do? Well, the next step is restoration. The restoration of broken relationships. Dad, you have to take the initiative here. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto them as being the weaker vessel, so that your prayers will not be hindered. What hinders prayer? Unresolved relationships. Dad, you have to take the initiative. I hope it's okay that I give a personal illustration. One time, one of our daughters wrote me a letter and indicated what she appreciated about growing up in our home, and specifically about me. And it wasn't about the fact, Dad, I just love those sermons that you preached. Or, you know, I read your books. No, she said, the thing that stands out most is that whenever I was wrong, I would be quick to go to them and ask their forgiveness. And I was wrong many times. Inconsistent discipline, discipline in anger, blaming the wrong child. I'll tell you, I've done it all. And so do you. What children are looking for is an honest dad who'll say, I have wronged you. I have not done right by you. I ask your forgiveness. Begin there, because the text says, fathers to children, children to fathers, lest I strike the earth with a curse, as one translation put it. We're dealing here with huge issues within the family. And then, of course, concentrate on the fatherhood of God. The Bible says that he is a father to the fatherless. Now, there's a promise you can hang on to. And David said, even when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will pick me up. God is our father if we know Christ as Savior. One of the most beautiful words in the English language, I think, is the word father. I also like the word dad. I love to send my kids a card, or if I email them, I always sign it, Dad. And I love the word dad. What an honor. And remember, we have a father in heaven, and we cry up and we say, Abba, Father, a term of endearment. Is there anything more precious than that? That's whom you pursue. You pursue God. Jesus, in fact, taught us to pray, did he not? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he revolutionized even the understanding of the Old Testament by affirming such incredible intimacy. Jesus also gave an example of God the Father by telling a parable about a boy who ran away from home. The father welcomed him back without a lot of questions. Said, bring a ring on, put it on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and give him a robe, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill him, for this my son was dead and is alive, he's lost and is found. That's exactly what God will do for you today if you come to Jesus Christ. You'll be welcomed into his family, but you have to come through Jesus, because he's the only one who's a Savior who died that we might be converted and that we might be able to be forgiven and stand perfectly before God. God is able to change your circumstances by changing you and me. We're willing to give him our hearts. Are you weary? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And even your family can experience that rest in Christ, because God is our Father. Would you join me as we pray? Our Father, as we have looked over the responsibilities, how we deeply repent, because all of us have been such imperfect fathers. All of us. But Father, we cleave to you and to your grace and to your mercy. Before I close this prayer, I'm talking now to the congregation. How many are there out there who say, Pastor Lutzer, I think this message is for me. I have some business to do within my family. Could you raise your hands, please? Even in the balcony. Many of you have raised your hands. Many of you who should have, perhaps haven't. Father, whatever you've told us today, help us to be obedient. And we pray that many may be able to say, Our Father who is in heaven. We pray in his blessed name. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and today my heart goes out to the 20 million children in the United States of America who will go to bed tonight with only one parent in the home. And as we look across the landscape, our hearts bleed because we need dads to step to the plate and to be the kind of dads that they should. You know, I think that most fathers have no idea regarding the impact that they have on their families, whether they are present or whether they are absent. That's why I preach this message. And this message is really part of a larger series entitled Fighting for Your Family. I say without any hesitation that it's one of the most important series of messages I have ever preached. And I want you to have it in your home, to share with your friends. And as a result of that, we are making it available as a video series along with a discussion guide, where you can finally come to grips with issues such as abuse, entertainment issues. I personally believe, for example, that the modern technological revolution is destroying our families. The question is, what do we do? How do we handle it? How much of Hollywood should we allow into our homes? All of these kinds of issues are discussed in that series of messages. I want to say also thank you to the many of you who support the ministry of Running to Win. And when I hear that you are praying for us, it touches me very deeply because at the end of the day, we need prayer more than we need anything else. As we continue this series, I know that you're going to be at your radio. Share it with your friends, because together we are making a difference. And now you stay tuned for some very important information. This is a series of messages entitled Fighting for Your Family. We have never before had a society in which we have such things as the tablets, the iPads, the smartphones, internet, television, all of these things stealing the hearts of our young people and stealing the hearts of parents too. But I have to warn you, we are going right into Satan's territory. This is where he rules. This is where he says, this dominion is mine. I own this.
Erwin Lutzer is fighting for your family at a time of sexual abuse.
As I began to see what happens behind closed doors, and I began to think of all of the pain that is out there that most of us know nothing about. So today, it is from my heart to your heart that I speak, and I care about you, abused and abusers.
This video series might change your life.
And then what I want to do is to give you five principles of marriage that I hope are going to help you and keep some of you from divorce and help some of you who are in a loveless marriage to get a reboot and a restart.
Fighting for Your Family. 10 power-packed messages on DVD that draw a line in the sand for every believer. These videos come with a discussion guide and will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, go to rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. The Supreme Court says the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional. There's no doubt marriage is under attack. Some say, why marry? Living together is becoming the norm. Next time, why marriage as an institution is so important. Don't miss what marriage is and isn't. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.